Today I shall address the question, Are you sanctified? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This radio program comes to you each week over this station at this time. Our text today is from John 17, verse 7. And here Jesus says, praying, sanctify them. Now let me pray. Father, we pray now that you will help us to see where we are within our hearts. Open the windows of our need. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus prays here for the sanctification of his disciples, of his 11 apostles. He says to God his Father concerning his followers, sanctify them. This tells us that it is possible to be saved without being sanctified. To prove that these apostles were saved, we go to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke and look at verse 20. There Jesus says to them, Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. This verse proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that these disciples, that these apostles were saved. It says their names were written in heaven. But in this text in John 17, my friend, Jesus prays for the sanctification of these same persons. So again, it is possible to be saved without being sanctified. Now let me ask you, are you saved? And then let me ask you, are you sanctified also? Or are you an unsanctified believer? Now someone will say, Pastor Schulze, that a man can be saved without being sanctified was only true before Pentecost. Since the Holy Spirit has come, all Christians are sanctified when they are saved. And I say to you, wait a minute. It is also true after Pentecost in this period of grace. To prove this, we're going to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and the 3rd verse. There the Apostle Paul says, For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So the believers at Thessalonica were saved, but they were not sanctified. Then Paul prays for these believers that they would be sanctified, seeing in verse 23 of chapter 5 of this epistle, And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The way the word sanctification is presented to us in the New Testament is in two segments. The first segment of sanctification is a setting aside, and the second part is a making fit for the Master's use and the purification of that which has been set aside. All of us who are born again are sanctified in the sense that God has set us aside for a work of purification that we might be made fit for the Master's use. But the reality is that most Christians, although they have been sanctified in that sense of having been set aside for purification, they have not allowed God to sanctify them unto purification and usefulness. This is brought out most clearly in Paul's first letter to the Corinthian Christians. He says in this chapter to the Corinthians, Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. That means to them which are set aside. These Corinthians, since they were born of God, were set aside for God's further work of purification to be done within them. Then in the third chapter, the Apostle Paul says to these same Corinthians, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So what Paul is saying here to the Corinthians, that although you have been set aside at the moment of your conversion, you're still acting like you're not saved at all. He says you're acting as people who are not spiritual, but as people who are carnal, as babes in Christ. Let me read this verse again. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Oh, what a tragedy that was. Dear born-again believer, can God speak unto you as unto a spiritual Christian or does he have to speak to you as a carnal Christian? Then Paul continues to say, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? In other words, aren't you still walking like you did before you were saved, before you were converted, with jealousy, with envy, with division, with strife, and in carnality? So now, my friend, you see more clearly Jesus praying for his disciples, for his apostles who were saved, praying for them that they might be sanctified. He says, sanctify them. Are you sanctified? What are the evidences of your sanctification? Is your husband sanctified, my friend? Is your wife sanctified? Jesus wants us to be sanctified. He prayed that saved people might become sanctified people, because unsanctified people are a great headache to him and to his church. Rather than giving you a long doctrinal discourse on what it means to be sanctified, let me become practical. Let me describe to you what a sanctified person is. As I go through this, perhaps you will get a picture of whether you're sanctified or not. First of all, a sanctified person is never offended. If you are sanctified, you will never get your feathers ruffled. When people accuse you of things you have not done, it will not be an offense to you. Your feathers will not be ruffled. When people call you a backslider, or a traitor, or a deceiver, or a worthless believer, or if they call you ugly, or fat, or skinny bone, or stupid, or a liar, or harsh, or inconsiderate, or impatient, you will not be offended. You will not get upset. You will not get your feathers ruffled, and you will not retaliate. You will not become resentful. The old man fights back. The carnal man fights back, but the new man in Christ Jesus turns the other cheek. Sanctified people are not offended. Sanctified people can be hit from any side and they will not be offended. You can trample on them, you can spit on them, you can abuse them, you can ignore them, you can spread evil tales about them, and they do not become angry and their blood pressure does not go up. Sanctified people are not controlled by the flesh, by the carnal nature, but they are controlled and indwelled by the Holy Spirit. My friend, are you sanctified? Jesus prayed, sanctify them. You are not sanctified if you're offended. You are not sanctified if you fly off the handle, if you get upset, if you lose your temper, if you slam doors, if you raise your voice toward your spouse, if you run off and lock yourself into a room, or if you explode when you hear things you don't like to hear. My friend, I'm giving you a test on sanctification, am I not? Secondly, sanctified people do not have their feelings hurt. Hurt feelings come from the carnal nature. And a sanctified person, the carnal nature is crucified, it is kept crucified, and so since the carnal nature is dead, there are no hurt feelings. Hurt feelings come out of the carnal nature. Hurt feelings are pride that has been wounded. Let me say that again. Hurt feelings come out of pride that has been wounded. If you think you're somebody, my friend, then your feelings can be hurt. If you think you are somebody great, somebody will make you fall. But if you're at the bottom in humility and you know you're nothing and you're not worth a single drop of the blood of Jesus, if you're at the bottom, my friend, like that, you cannot be hurt. You will not have hurt feelings. Only pride gets hurt feelings. So number one, a sanctified person is not offended. Number two, a sanctified person cannot have his feelings hurt. And thirdly, a sanctified person has no bitterness and no resentment. Again, only the carnal nature, the old man, provides a lodging place with free room and board for Mr. Bitterness and Mrs. Resentment. The house of carnality, my friend, gives free room and board to hurt feelings, to anger, to bitterness, to resentment, and to all the cousins thereof. A sanctified person is not bitter nor resentful. It tells us so in Ephesians chapter 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, were these Ephesians Paul wrote to saved? Yes. Were they sanctified? No. Why? Because there was bitterness in their hearts. There was resentment in the hearts. There was wrath in the hearts. There was anger in the hearts. There was malice within the hearts. And there was evil speaking coming out of the mouth. That is to say, getting us to point four, a sanctified person does not speak evil. He does not criticize. He does not find fault. He does not judge people. The Ephesians were saved, but they were not sanctified. Are you sanctified? Don't you want to be? Don't you need to be? If we keep on and on in an unsanctified state, in an unholy way, will we make it to heaven? Doesn't the Bible say, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord? My friend, the parable of the 10 virgins give us a good warning that we had better go on to a sanctified state, or we're going to have the door shut in our face someday. Now back to evil speaking, to criticism, to fault finding, and to judging. Let me read to you from James chapter 4. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law. I have a real concern when one of my friends who loves me very dearly, begins to criticize one of my brothers or sisters who does not love me so much. I get very concerned about that. It seems to be that this dear friend who criticizes a dear brother or sister who is not in harmony with me is trying to defend me, doing a good thing to defend me. But as much as I need to be defended, as much as I need people who keep my opposition at a distance, I do not want them to criticize my enemies. First of all, Jesus said that we need to love our enemies and to pray for them. And secondly, I know those who criticize my enemies will eventually criticize me. It may take weeks and months and years, but eventually they'll criticize me too. You see, the critical spirit is not a respecter of persons. The carnal nature within man, my friend, is not a respecter of persons. So I plead with you, don't criticize anybody. Don't criticize people. Don't waste your bullets on people, but use all the ammunition you have on the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Let's get back to Ephesians 4, verse 32. We read verse 31 a while ago. Remember that? I said, let all bitterness and wrath be put away from you, and evil speaking be put away from you. But here in verse 32, it says, and be ye kind one to another. That's a sanctified life. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. That's the sanctified life. It's a walk in love toward all people, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us in offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Husband, are you tender-hearted toward your wife? Are you compassionate toward your wife and understanding? Wife, are you tender-hearted and compassionate and submissive and forgiving toward your husband? Forgiving one another freely as Christ has forgiven you. So, to sum it up, Jesus prayed for the sanctification of his disciples, even of his apostles. He prayed in John chapter 17, sanctify them. Are you saved? Well, I hope you are, dear one. Now, if you're saved, let me ask you this question. Are you sanctified? I've given you the test. Did you pass? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.